There you go. I don't know, I'm having like a freak out moment because I don't know why, but it feels like even though all the audio settings in my OBS setting and my OBS setup are the same across all of the different shows for audio, it's sounding so different in my ears right now, and my levels aren't hitting the way they normally do. So I'm like weirded out and worried that maybe my input needs to be replaced. God, I hope not, because the audio interface is expensive. So happy New Year, Manny. What's up, man?
Happy
Did
New
you have
Year.
a restful extra day off?
Not really, dude. Just tired still. There was a lot of people off yesterday at work, and it was quite a bit to do.
Yeah. Well, let's get started with our first show for the year. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the daily cup of genre here on the Genreverse YouTube channel and podcast network, wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Kyle. The other guy is Manny, and yeah, here we get to talk about anything and everything in entertainment news. Yeah, happy New Year to you all. Subscribe if you haven't already. If you have, thank you very much. And it's officially full circle for Owen. Check out lrmonline.com for all entertainment news needs and opinions. It is now officially our second year. The channel like started technically like December 15th, 2021, but the actual launch of the channel was January 3rd, with the Daily Cup of Genre being the first new episode. I uploaded some back catalog stuff we brought over from the LRM channel, but yeah, man, it's been crazy. We hit basically 1,800 subscribers in a year. Did a crap ton of videos, 472 videos in 1 year, maybe more like 450 because some of the back catalog stuff I brought over. But still, that's over an average of one video a day. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and thank you, Manny, for being a part of it, of course.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's torture having to get up every morning at 6 a.m. just to hear your damn voice.
I know, I know. Imagine how my wife feels.
I don't know, man.
I do want to kind of go over what we would have done yesterday, because it's a big deal in my opinion, man. And that's those box office numbers. Avatar: The Way of Water is not on screen right now. 1 second, ladies and gentlemen. Avatar: The Way of Water. Not only had a great third weekend, it actually made more money in its third weekend than it did its second weekend. And that's great for theaters. And while I still have no interest in seeing this movie, I don't understand people that do like these movies based on those that I know what those that have seen it, what they've said, like Jammer and Jonesy and them over on Breaking Geek Radio, or maybe it was Danny, I don't remember, I do so many of these things, but they reviewed it. They all kind of felt similar. But hey, you guys are seeing it, and I think, Manny, now I think not only is 550 in reach, I think 600 might be in play now, which is great for theaters. What do you think?
I'm not sure. I don't think it has that rewatch value that's going to help it get to 600. I'm
Okay.
gonna right now, where are we at? Let's see. 400.
Yeah, they're sitting at a 424.
I'm gonna I'll just be I'll just do close but no cigar at like 550. Because you do start getting other movies that are going to be coming out in the next few weeks and stuff. People are going back to school. There's a lot of other things to do specifically, and then once you watch this once, it's not. I know a lot of people say they've rewatched it, which is hey, that's your prerogative. But I think once most people have really settled and watched it, and yeah, I haven't watched it either, so
Yeah.
And every time that we reschedule a time to go see it, we end up watching something else.
I'm trying to find a video from that we did a while ago talking about the box office for this, and it's not on the videos that I thought it was. But someone had commented about you being so off, like what's the phrasing they used? I can't remember the word that they used, but like you're out of touch, man. You're out of your element here on this movie's box office stuff, because you were lowballing it in their opinion, I guess. But dude, you ended up being pretty damn spot on with its opening weekend take. And then you admitted that, you know, it seemed to have better legs than you thought it would have going into week two. So I don't necessarily think you're completely out of touch, but I do think 550 is easy now. Another 125 million. It's only three weeks in. Yeah. I think it's got it for that. But I think I also agree with you that it's not necessarily rewatch so much as it is people that were willing to wait.
Yeah, a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And then those that were waiting on word of mouth. I don't think this is a, you know, like the this was month ago now. I don't think it's like the one guy that thought this was going to do 800 million the domestic market, because it would have to stay in to like Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania to do that, and that's February. But I do think that it's I do think that it's got a good shot.
It just it's something that I've talked about, really, we've talked about, and that's really, really smart placement.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we've
well placed.
so yeah, like, for example, there's nothing else to compete with it for a while. And so... You know, if you haven't seen it, but you still have the itch to go to the theaters, or you got gift cards or things like that, its legs, besides the fact that it does have a huge following, it also has the advantage of not really having competition. So I think that's really good for it, and it's really smart. It's something that I think that was also very smart on the part of Shazam, which knew that, hey, if we try to go head to head with it, it wouldn't have as better legs as it will now, in its own time. And so it kind of shows you that, not only does your movie matter, but also when you release it. You and I talked about how Bros did so bad. And I am telling you that if that movie would have come out at a different time, maybe like in spring or in the early summer, specifically June, during Pride Month, I think it could have done way better than putting it in a mid-October release when people want horror movies.
Yeah,
you look at how Smile did, and that's, I think that's really, it's kind of the proof right there. It's good evidence. There's another movie that's going to come out that I you know, is it going to do great in theaters? No. But the release of it is going to get you the best value for putting it in theaters. And it's called The Book Club. It's about four elderly women going on a bachelorette party. That's when it's being released. Mother's Day. I was like,
yeah,
this is perfect.
Makes sense.
Absolutely perfect. You're going to get the best bang for your buck, because they're going to be looking for things to take their moms out, specifically to dinner, maybe a movie. There you go. There's the movie. It's not even tough to see.
And that's mostly adult moms to their adult moms, not like kids and stuff. So yeah, that's super, super smart. And a lot of movies made more money this week than the previous week, including Puss in Boots, which is crazy because, you know, last weekend was its opening weekend, or this past one, but the one before that. But that's also the Christmas season, and there was all of the travel issues and things like that. But coming into New Year's weekend, it actually went up in in box office take. Wakanda Forever brought in a few million more before it hits Disney Plus. Was it next month, I think, or late this month? Something like that. I think it's February. The Whitney Houston lost money week over week, and it was in its second week. Same with Babylon, mm-hmm. only bringing in 2.6. They added that to 8 screens over the weekend too.
Puss in Boots was great, by the way. We did watch it this weekend. Our theater was, as usual, pretty cozy because of the amount of people. Families together were going to watch Puss in Boots, and it was kind of fun. We don't usually go to theaters that are too packed. We usually go to at times when there's really nobody there. So it was kind of fun to see theaters like full with kids and being excited about Mario and some of the other trailers that they showed. That was fun. But overall, here's what I'm noticing about animation, just very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. The DreamWorks especially, and Sony actually is doing a little bit now with kind of like Spider-Verse and Into the Own Spider-Verse. They're really taking a note from Japanese style animation and kind of incorporating that with especially their like fight scenes and action sequences, mm-hmm. and it's making for such better like a combination of like American animation now you're incorporating that into it and using like not just sticking to one static like form of animation in a movie is really helping them out. They did that with like the bad guys, and I've noticed that here, and then also noticing it in how they do it in Into the Spider-Verse and its predecessor. Good stuff, man. Really good stuff.
Yeah, I'm always down to see animation do more, be more, you know. I think it's a shame how many adults look at cartoons and think, oh, it's only for kids. And yeah, a lot of it is meant for kids, like, you know, 10-year-olds watching whatever's the latest Nicktoon thing. Do they even do Nicktoons anymore? I remember Hey Arnold and Doug and all that crap, but I don't know what they do these days. But Loud House, I've seen that one at hospital
waiting. Oh, Loud House is fun.
Yeah, so yeah, sure. There's a lot of that, and then you have those that are like, well, it's either for little kids or it's South Park, Family Guy meant for adults, and it's like, well, yeah, that exists too. But there also exists this whole slew of films animated in different styles and different methods that are. Damn near Oscar worthy, if not actually Oscar worthy. And I don't mean as best animated film, I mean as best picture. I mean, you think of some of Miyazaki's films, some people would throw in Hosoda, I'd throw in Shinkai. And then you look at like Guillermo del Toro. Screwed that up. You look at his Pinocchio, mm-hmm. and that's an animated film that on its animation alone is just phenomenal.
Yep.
And I get so confused at people that can't look at, well, because it's drawn. It's like, oh my god, it's so ignorant.
Yeah.
It's so freaking ignorant. Same thing with people that only see Pokemon and Dragon Ball. Whenever they see anime, they can't see beyond it, even though yes, those two exist and have replicants across and share styles and tropes with many other shows, but there's way more that aren't like that. So yeah, it's a shame with animation, how maybe one day, and you know, you the way you mentioned people incorporating some more, you know, anime style fights and things like that, it makes sense when you start thinking of who's now making cartoons animated stuff versus 20 years ago. You know, 20 years ago, you had people that grew up with the Jetsons, the Flintstones, you know, like the heyday 60s, 70s of Hanna-Barbera. Those were the animators 20, 30 years ago. Now you got guys like us in those studios.
Who grew up with Dragon Ball Z. Yeah.
Who grew up with that and Toonami on Cartoon Network, the anime section of Blockbuster or Hollywood Video, buying super overpriced anime from Suncoast. I got that confused for a second with PacSun, which is clothing. Suncoast was the entertainment. I think that all makes sense. It's just kind of like is one of the benefits, I guess, of the way Hollywood has gone, and you finally have enough people that got in on the ground floor and have decided to change things, some for the better, some for the worst, but have actually managed to change things versus stick with the status quo. You know, it's crazy when you think of some of the names they considered for superhero movies in the past, like a James Cameron. And yes, I know he did Terminator, but that's not what most people think these days. But when they're looking at guys like that for freaking Spider-Man and stuff, you know, it's a different age, and some of it's really good, some of it's not. So hopefully, all to say, animation gets its fair shot. I would love for an animated film to win Best Picture one day, because it's the best picture.
Yeah, you could almost argue that films like Avatar aren't animated. Especially
I know the live action Lion King was definitely not live action.
Yeah, so you see how far the point I'm making with that is, you see how far it has come. Yeah. To the point where we're getting these Unreal Engine backgrounds and things like that. That's all animated. Yep. If you really think about it, if you want to simplify it, that's what you know. I know it's a lot more complicated than that, but it's really it's cool. I really enjoy DreamWorks, and I do like that they've changed their opening credits. You know how they usually have the little kid on the moon.
This time you see all the characters in their catalog.
Because How to Train Your Dragon, that franchise, is fantastic.
Yeah,
and don't sleep on Trolls, because my daughter loves Trolls. I love Shrek. So
say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
There's that. Anyway, just to really, I guess, wrap up animation, since we're talking about it. You know what? Disney Plus wrapped up as its number one movie most watched? Strange World.
Really?
Yep. Yeah, according to some of the charts online, it despite it being such a flop in the theaters, and only making like $30-40 million, it as soon as it hit Disney Plus, everybody's watching.
I would be very curious as to what they're counting as a view, because you might have had a situation where, because it did receive such an awful reception in theaters, that people did check it out, but then clicked off on it because it was crap, or they actually watched it. I would be curious to that. I hope it's good. I hope nobody just saw a movie and thought it was so bad they turned it off after 5 minutes. But it's always, streaming numbers are always an oddity, because you can spin them and hide them and play with them in a lot of ways. So I'm always curious, like, because even if people are only watching, even if you're doing it as watch hours, just watch hours, not necessarily views, you could still end up with roughly the same thing where a crap ton of people looked at it for a short period of time, and that built up the view hours. So I'm always iffy on that. But what do you think about it? You saw it. You said it was kind of what, B?
It was about C? A B. My daughter liked it.
Okay.
I thought it was a fairly decent movie. The thing is that the thing about Strange World, the thing about Lightyear, the thing about a lot of these animated films that they came up with this year, they really felt kind of well, they're different studios. First of all, I know they're both Disney, but one's Disney Animation and one's Pixar. That's two different houses actually making movies. It seemed kind of lazy, man. Like, like Lightyear especially was like, here's a guy who the movie's based on, or a movie that Andy would have watched. And it's like, nah, this isn't it, fam. Like, I don't see Andy becoming such a Buzz Lightyear. Like, that's nothing like the toy at all. And the thing is, all nostalgia is with the toy. And I think that's what the reason why it was a huge flop. Strange World is a weird one, because like they did like early promos for it, and then they just kind of like it kind of like fell silent. I didn't hear anything about the movie forever. And I was one of the ones promoting it. So when it started early in September, when they were promoting it, I thought it was going to have a lot more bang for its buck, I guess, as far as marketing. And now it just went in the theaters really, really quiet. And it really didn't help. This is kind of sad to say out loud, but there's quite a few people who refused to have their families watch it. Hey, everybody, because they were not going to support the agenda of having a gay lead character. And I know this because I got some angry messages on Twitter saying that exact thing. It's like, it was wild, because it's like, okay, like, go back to the 1800s or whenever you're from. That has to be a little bit part of it. And it was like, and then my daughter, even when after at the end, she was like, I really like this movie, which gave me the idea that she didn't think it was going to be good either. Because it's weird. It's like out of left field, but you and I have talked about it. If it's not a franchise, it's not going to do well. Yeah. It's just the conditioning that people have these days. We've seen it with the numbers. We've seen it with the top 10 at the box office. Everything is, if it's not a franchise, it's not going to be successful.
Yeah, the interesting thing about that is just like when people bring up the idea of traditions, I'm always reminding them, you know, every tradition had to eventually be started at some point. And that's just like franchises. That in order for you to get a new one, a new one has to be tried, and you have to give it a shot. So here's to everyone checking out things that they didn't before.
The thing about it is that even like, so the thing about that whole thing that kind of makes me upset with people and not being accepting of like gay characters in films, especially like in Strange World, because it doesn't throw it in your face. It just treats it like any regular relationship. It doesn't try to glorify it. It's just, it's very normalized, and which is what I look for, especially in films and movies. Sometimes it's like, I don't need it to be shoved in my face and to like, look at it. It's more like, let it flow naturally and let it happen. I know that some friends of mine from that community, that had that problem with Supergirl. They said they kept shoving it in your face, and then like it made it kind of awkward. In the case,
or it's like a group of eight people that are meant to be, you know, eight random people, all from different walks of life, but then are all pretty much like if they were the absolute same cookie cutter check mark
yeah,
box.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So yeah. what I'm saying is this isn't like an agenda. This isn't like quote unquote woke agenda. Like these are just normal people.
Yeah. Like in the walk of your day out in public, you're gonna run into something like this at least once a week.
Yeah,
maybe.
And it's
once every three or four
and
days.
It's normal.
You know?
There's like, yeah. And so like to like just see it put into the way it is in movies. I find always like a bigger step, because then it's like it's seen as the everyday.
Yeah.
And I think that's great, but then you still have people who are like, it's an agenda. It's like, no, it's just life, guys. Like,
and there are times where absolutely, like you said, there's a clear agenda, a clear message trying to be stated, and that goes for all sorts of things, even right-leaning ideology or whatever you want to say, if you got to break it down politically like that. And those all have their time and place, and they have their audience. And if you're not the audience, you can't be upset when people are saying, hey, that's not for me. But
and then, yeah, and then
there's also
does.
Plenty where there's, yeah, there's plenty where there's not. It's just they're just trying to show you guys that this is normal, like this,
yeah.
This exists.
No, but I understand still, though, because unfortunately we do have a lot of ignorance still in the country. and so like even something like this, it becomes kind of difficult to do still. But I mean, because the thing is that then if you hyper focus on it,
yeah,
then you alienate a good part of an audience that maybe would have gone and checked it out.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know what, you need, and depending on the marketing and depending on how it's kind of wrapped up in a bow, I'm keeping an eye on Barbie for that reason, because the culture sometimes on the
Careful
internet
now. We're not supposed to talk about Barbie.
I know. Whatever, man. The culture on the internet is saying, Kyle, you and I who are a certain type of guy, this movie is not for us, and stay away from it. This is our time to shine. And it's like, okay, so you don't want us to be part of the group? You don't want us to promote it also? Because we're ready to jump on board and have some fun. But if
that promo was pretty damn funny.
Yeah, but if you don't but you want us to stay away, hey, no shine off our back. And then if it bombs, it's like, why didn't everybody see it? Well, because only the 10 people that supposedly were fans went to go see it. Yeah. And you alienated an entire crowd, i.e. Charlie's Angels. just be accepting of everyone, because we all want to watch all of the damn movies.
Yeah, that reminds me of like Ghostbusters 2016. Mm-hmm. You know, when people are like, well, you know, these men didn't go out and watch this movie because it was filled with these women, and I'm like, okay, then why didn't the women go see the movie?
Yeah,
you guys wouldn't even support your own side of the house. Like, what the hell? Why is it incumbent upon others to you know? And the whole point of that was, you make a good movie, people will go see it. Yeah, sure, sci-fi skews male in the entertainment demo every, you know, across the board, across ages, but it's definitely, there's definitely a hell of a lot more female audience than there was when the original Ghostbusters mm-hmm. came out for sci-fi. A hell of a lot more. Yeah, I don't get I don't get trying to alienate your audience, and some people are more sensitive than others, and some people are more sensible than others. You know, you got to take it case by case. Try not to paint with a broad brush like we usually get caught up under. You know, if we say something about She-Hulk, even if we come with, you know, a whole bunch of our actual grievances, people will be like, well, you just don't like it because woman. No.
Yeah,
no, far from it.
Hey,
some of my best friends are women. I mean, come on now.
Yes, you know, we're just cursed with the fact that we're middle-aged bearded men, Kyle. That's all.
You're not middle-aged yet. I'm
getting there.
What is our generation's life expectancy? Like 82, 83 or something? So I'm almost there. About 2 to 4 years away from middle age. If you're going by life expectancy, so. Oh boy, it's I guess kind of talking about life expectancy. We could get into 2023, the new,
we're into
the
it
new
already.
Year,
it's,
man.
It's the
like
third,
I know, but what is coming out, and what is on your agenda this year, Manny? Your big lookouts for movies or television, games, like, what is it?
Obviously, the biggest thing, without a doubt, is to finally get some answers as to what exactly is this plan for DC Films. Mm-hmm. We've been told that we're going to be given more information sometime early this year. No exact date specifically, but getting that ball rolling to me is very important, and closing out what was. As well, so as a DC fan, I don't care if it quote unquote doesn't matter. It matters because a lot of people put time and effort into these films, and just like comic books, stories matter regardless if they're one shots, if they're different story arcs. It's just because they're not part of a giant overarching story doesn't mean they don't matter. Sometimes that doesn't work to your advantage. Look at Marvel Phase 4 right now. It's connecting everything has its issues. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. another example. But that's definitely my biggest thing I'm looking out for this year. And I mean, like, we have a ton of movies that are coming out this year. Not to say that there weren't last year, but it just feels a lot bigger this year. A lot bigger, especially because they're all franchises. And we want to talk about franchises. Nothing bigger than John Wick Chapter 4. That movie looks like it's going to be bananas. As a fan of the franchise, I am very excited to see what they have up their sleeve for this film. Not to mention Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Indiana Jones is back. It's still Harrison Ford. What is going on? It's 2023, but hey, I'm all for it. Shia LaBeouf wasn't the guy for it, and oh, that never happened, huh? Just kidding.
We'll see.
And then, just in that same line of movies, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1, Mission Impossible films, I can watch all the. I don't know. I'm a sucker for that kind of film, spy movies, things like that. So like James Bond, Mission Impossible, things like that. I'm all for it. We're here for it. Let's get it on. Dungeons and Dragons: Honor Among Thieves. Just really that D&D culture hitting its peak is going to be lots of fun because a lot more people play Dungeons and Dragons now than they used to. It's no longer as taboo as it once was. and like, look, I'm not a fan of the Transformers movies, but I grew up on Beast Wars, so Rise of the Beast, let's give it a shot and see what's going on. Hopefully they're not baiting me into watching something that like Age of Extinction, because they were promised us dinosaurs. We didn't get dinosaurs. Well, we did for like 5 minutes. Spider-Man Beyond the Spider-Verse. But The Flash obviously is a big one, just because Michael Keaton's coming back to it. And I just want to see what's the deal. Okay, so like, you guys wanted to save this movie, show me why. it's not even, is this going to be good or not? It's just like, why did you want to save this? I don't know. I just hope it's good, because if it's not, then it's going to be like, why didn't you guys just scrap this? It wasn't that good. And then obviously, Ray Liotta's last film that we'll see him in before he passed, Cocaine Bear, which is insane, because that is actually directed by Elizabeth Banks. So she's been doing her shot a lot of films. So I'm excited to see her in that chair again. And just to say a couple of really quick things. Creed 3. Like, it's being directed by Michael B. Jordan. Mm-hmm. So, you know, right? He's learned under Coogler. And he's had his hands on several other films. Several other franchises he's been a part of. To see what you got. Especially with the film like this. It looks like Jonathan Majors looks huge in this film.
Yeah.
And it's like, mode. And it's like, I want to see that guy beat up the Avengers. and with that said, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. I mean, like, I could go on and on. It's just a year. And then honestly, because it's me, another year of conventions. I love conventions. WonderCon, Comic-Con, Long Beach Comic-Con, LA Comic-Con, anything and everything on the West Coast. Let's get it on. It's going to be a busy year.
I hear you, man. A lot of freaking movies. I was scrolling through a piece from Variety showing all the top 40 or some odd movies that are hyped up, and a lot of those that you said on there. I, of course, am looking forward mostly to a bunch of anime myself. We got my Dr. Stone's coming back this season. There's some movies for Kaguya-sama and Spy Family. The Gridman Universe movies coming out. It's going to be a huge year for anime, and a huge year for the channel because of that. AVR and AVR R-squared here. Movie-wise, I am hoping that Mario Brothers movie does as well as I think it can, as well as it seems to look and is being advertised. The Marvel movies, of course, I'm apprehensive because of, you know, we've been abused this past phase. Phase 4 was abusive to the fans, and a dog that's been hit a few too many times, and one time is usually too much, but you're flinching, you know, and that's how I feel. I'm like, God, I'm gonna get my ticket, but I'm not sure if I'm gonna like this, and I really need to just like I needed Andor to be what it was to help me through Star Wars. I need Ant-Man and the Wasp to be as good as the other two. I need Quantumania to be as good as the other two Ant-Man films. If it's not, I don't know how I get to Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Because that one I actually do have high hopes for. I would say that's how I would put it. I have high hopes for Guardians 3. There's a lot of things, man, that are just not, I don't know, not like gaming. I'm not feeling, I mean, we got two Final Fantasy games, and outside of that, I don't feel anything for gaming very much. I saw that Game Pass missed its subscriber numbers for the second year in a row.
People just want to buy the damn games. They don't want to subscribe to things. I mean, we do, and we use a lot of the small games, but in general, like, it's not, doesn't really work.
Well, no, it's the same as any other streaming service, though. They're putting, you know, AAA titles on there same day. It's unsustainable. It won't. Unless you go to a lot to where everything is games as a service, everything is loot boxes and hats, and everything is like I said, a game as a service for you every freaking game, then subscription models are not sustainable. So sorry, guys. And yeah, then there's the whole ownership and even digital ownership in general is iffy, but still having a physical disc generally enables you to play a game.
not really,
regardless of your subscription service.
Not with Modern Warfare.
Yeah, not with that one.
That is abusive. You have to sign up for an Activision account. You have to have internet. You have to have the correct downloads and everything. And it's like, what is the disc for then? Like, I don't understand. It is is bad.
I don't have anything for gaming. I nothing Mission Impossible. I nothing Indiana Jones. I don't hate them or anything. It's literally I just don't care. Oppenheimer, I'm really interested in seeing that simply for the effects. I want to everyone making jokes about him about Nolan actually setting off a nuke for the Trinity test. It was funny, but no. But I like history, and I like the history. I like modern history, like post World War history. I find the whole era right there around the nuclear age to be incredibly interesting. So I'm super stoked about that. I said post World War era. I mean World War era and beyond. So it is a huge year for movies, man. A lot of franchises, the Blue Beetles coming out, some oddities here and there. Ready to watch Sony crash and burn with things like Kraven and what's it called? Madam Web. The one thing that I really don't know how to feel about it at all, and I won't until we see a trailer, is that Wonka movie, man.
I don't know what the deal is with that.
Like, looking at the scene that the one image I think that's been shared, and it's on screen if you're watching us on YouTube, that one image, it almost comes off like it's going to be too serious. But, I mean, it's just one image, and it's taken from, you know, during setup or some crap like that. You can see equipment and things. It might even be for a promo shot specifically. But whenever I think of Willy Wonka, I of course think of Gene Wilder's Willy Wonka from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and I think of the book as well. And the book is very, very fantastical. Dahl, you know, the way he wrote was, I mean, that's why all those things play to kids. And so whenever you want to make it too weird, looking at you, Johnny Depp, if you try to make it too gritty, it doesn't. I don't know, man. I don't know what to make of that one. So,
yeah, that one's gonna be weird. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. Sometimes they can surprise us. The one thing I forgot to mention too, which is actually right around the corner, that I'm very, very excited for, is The Last of Us on HBO.
Oh, yeah. I hope that's good.
Although I will say, some of the latest kind of tidbits that I've heard about it did have me raise an eyebrow as to what are we doing exactly, because they're like, oh yeah, that story that's already been told, they're gonna tell a different one. And then I went, what,
really?
Something like that.
Wow.
And so but the thing is, that franchise is very beloved to me now, having finished both of the games and having quite the emotional response to some of the endings, and some of the things happening in the games. It actually left a giant void inside of me after it was done, because
damn.
Well, yeah, because then I when I finished playing it, like I went straight to like a straight kind of like Modern Warfare game.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this game is boring. like I'm shooting people, like, this is like, where's this, or like, where's the story?
Nothing.
Yeah, exactly. That's really how I felt about it. So I feel like I'm gonna be way too critical about this series, because like it's just good, and that's good, because usually gaming doesn't translate well. I hope this one does.
Yeah,
we'll see. We'll see what happens. What I just I just hope that with all of these franchises coming out this year, that people go back to the theaters a bit more. That's kind of what I'm hoping for. And I don't know if we have Indiana Jones might be this year's Top Gun.
Maybe it kind of depends on the rest of the advertising run for it.
I'm just looking at.
It's got an uphill battle, though. I'll say that. While it's got a very huge dedicated fan base, guys like Cam that I know are just diehard indie fans already saying yes, we're going to see it. But just based on, and I'm not talking about the sensationalized rumors and things, but based on things that we relatively are certain that we know, a lot of people are kind of just like, we'll see. I'm there opening night and I've got hopes, but there's not a whole lot of confidence. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's a lot of due to, you know, Crystal Skull, a lot to do with just Disney's handling of Star Wars and Kathleen Kennedy especially. And we know that this is the movie she stayed on for. Like, she stayed on for this movie. We knew that she would not be leaving, regardless of what there, I just dropped an F-bomb. Oops. Doomcock or whatnot, Overlord DB douche, wants to say that she was going to stick around at least through Indy 5. And she's not the best producer of stuff at Lucasfilm. She's made money, but she hasn't necessarily made a whole bunch of smart story or movie choices. But that being said, I hope it's good. I hope it delivers for fans, and I hope it is a Top Gun. I hope it makes $700 million domestic. That would be amazing. It would be great. So yeah.
No, I agree. There's a lot of movies with that potential, and it'll be interesting to see what films people come out for. And yeah, I don't know either.
Go ahead.
Yeah, but we'll see, and we'll be there. At least I'll be there most of the movies in theater.
Yeah,
because that's what I do.
Yeah, like I said, I don't care. I missed the indie train. I can watch it if it's on at some place that I'm at, but I never go grab the DVDs or whatever and pop them in myself. I think that's good, man. Did you have anything else? There's a lot of Marvel rumors out there, ladies and gentlemen, and now I'm starting to wonder how much of that might actually be true, even though the source has had a pretty decent hit record. It's just a lot of things, and if they are true, then there's a lot of spoilers out there. So be
if you take the rumors that have been true from DC and you kind of take them in the same percentage as the Marvel rumors, not a lot of truth there.
Yeah, but we also didn't. And I will say this, that one source did have some bubbles burst, kind of sort of by DC, but not like Variety or Hollywood Reporter, whoever it was, not like those guys did with DC, and unlike all of DC under Gunn now, Gunn only kind of deflected Guardians related rumors at Marvel. Marvel has a habit of not commenting on rumors at all, so we're not going to hear any confirmation or shutdown from them most likely. So some of these things you guys are going to be waiting until 2024, 2025 to see if they are true or not. So anyways, what's up?
That's it. I'm excited to get some of these Ant-Man rumors out of the way in a month.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You guys can find more shows like this with Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast. You can find anime reviews on AVR, the Cantina, handling Star Wars news and reviews, and Marvel Multiverse Mayhem for Marvel. Marvel reviews, all wherever you get your podcasts at, on the Genreverse podcast network. Of course, all of those go up on our YouTube channel in video format, along with AVR Squared anime reactions and Genre Shot trailer reactions. So get subscribed for that. And of course, LRMonline.com every day for all entertainment news, needs, opinions, celebrity interviews, and more. Anything else, Manny?
Get well soon to Damar Hamlin.
Yes.
He had a horrific injury last night. Or
cardiac
episode.
Arrest on the field.
Yeah, just a reminder to everyone to appreciate every day.
There you go.
Seriously.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.